The Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. It can be found on page 1070 of the Church Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of heaven is the God that is the bread that comes from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
So as I just said, the reading is all about bread, and Jesus ultimately describing himself as bread. So I thought I'd start by asking what your favourite food is. What's Maxie's favourite food? Everything. Oh, that's... For those parents that have had children that don't eat, they'll be weeping now. Oh, you've had one of that as well. That's fine then. It evens out. Anybody else favourite food you can share in there? Roast dinner? Spaghetti bolognese? How about yours is, Evie? Good choice. Any other favourite foods? Full English breakfast. I mean, this is the trad corner, like full English breakfast followed by roast dinner. What are you going to have for tea, sir? Yeah. Salad. I was not expecting that. I don't believe it. Anybody else favourite foods? What was that one from Tracy? Sausage and mash. That's a classic as well. Fantastic. Well, my favourite food is crisps. I'm not even joking, I absolutely love crisps. In fact, none of my family are here this morning, but if they were here, they would tell you every Christmas and birthday, they wrap up a big bag of kettle chips or something like that. I get the packet and I'm like, I know what this gift is. This is the crisps. When I was 18 years old, I went to a music festival where they were launching a new brand of crisps. And at the time, it was Doritos. They were giving away countless packets of free cheese Doritos as a promotion. Over the course of the three-day festival, I reckon I ate 30 packets of cheese Doritos. It was brilliant, and I still like them. That's how much I like crisps. Free food is great, and free crisps even better. Now, some of you were here in church last week, some weren't, but the reading that we've heard this morning comes immediately after the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. And like free Doritos offered to hungry teenagers, the miracle of the loaves and the fish caused a bit of a stir. And that meant that the crowd followed Jesus around the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum on the other side. Because why wouldn't you if someone is giving you free food? And then when the crowd found Jesus, he said to them, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs, the miracles I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, you lot are here for the free food, to which I say, I relate. Yes. He then goes on to tell them that they have missed the point of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He says it's not about the free food. as Ian told us last week, the free food was meant to tell them something about what God is like and about who Jesus is. So he says to them, almost like trying again, let me just try and tell you what I was trying to do back there. He says, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they say, sir, always give us this bread. This bread sounds even better. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It becomes clear very quickly that he's not talking about physical hunger. It seems he's talking about spiritual hunger. Now, I wonder if you would regard yourself as a spiritual person. Your answer may depend, of course, on the way in which you define the word spiritual. And if you do regard yourself as spiritual, I wonder if you would have ever experienced what you might call spiritual hunger. Or perhaps a different phrase is more helpful. Have you ever experienced some form of inner longing for something that you can't quite identify and you can't quite express in words? I'm talking about the sort of thing most of us don't talk about, these deep feelings, because we feel foolish, because we can't really explain them, other than there's a longing for something. Over the past week, I have loved watching the Olympics. Anybody else been enjoying the Olympics? Some of you, all of you. I particularly like hearing the life stories of the competitors and what they've had to go through to become a medal winner. And there are some phenomenal stories of different athletes. And there was one story that stood out to me particularly this week, and that was about the swimmer, Adam Peaty. Adam Peaty won 100 metres breaststroke gold at Rio in 2016. He did the same thing again at Tokyo in 2021. And after that, his life rather publicly fell apart. His relationship broke down. He was struggling with depression and addiction. He was diagnosed with ADHD. He had an injury that meant he couldn't compete. And at one point, he describes himself as being hopelessly lost. And so somebody encouraged him to go and talk to an Olympic chaplain. I didn't even know such a thing existed. And through his conversations with that chaplain, he made the decision to start going to church in Nottingham. And in a recent interview, he said, in my youth, I didn't have a sense of needing a guide or a higher voice. But I started to go to church because it felt like the missing part of the puzzle. Unbelievably, the first Sunday that he turned up in church unannounced, the sermon was all about athletes carrying the Olympic torch. His hairs on the back of his neck must have stood up, I reckon. He said, I felt a huge sense of peace, calmness, grounding and perspective, belonging even. It felt like I was home in a place where people understand there is a higher level to this very superficial world. And so to mark the change that's happened in his outlook and in his life, he's had a huge cross tattooed on his abdomen. If you watch the swimming, you'll have seen it. And underneath, he's got the words, into the light. I wonder if Adam Peaty's story is the sort of spiritual hunger that Jesus is talking about. That sense of, he had everything around him, professional athlete, he had probably, you know, the best doctors and physios and sports psychologists, everything you could feasibly need, and yet for him there was something that seemed to be missing. Now, critics of religion might say, well, Adam Peaty's story is just another example of Christianity being a psychological crutch for someone who's weak, and I can understand why somebody might say that. But I find it hard to believe that a double Olympic gold medalist is a weak person. On the contrary, I think if you're going to win 2 gold medals, you have to be made of really steely stuff. And instead, I wonder if Adam Peaty actually had always had some sort of spiritual hunger, some sort of inner longing. But perhaps it was only when life fell apart, when everything else was stripped away, that he suddenly became aware of it. Or maybe he realised that the way that he was living wasn't meeting his needs and his desires. Which takes me back to my earlier question. Would you describe yourself as a spiritual person? When I was a teenager, although I loved watching the Olympics, I was one of the least sporty people in my year group. I hated sport, and I did everything I could to get out of PE lessons. In fact, I was probably a PE teacher's worst nightmare. And yet, over the last few years, I have discovered that even though I hated PE at school, even though I have no hand-eye coordination, and if someone threw a ball at me, I would go like that and miss it, I love exercise. I love being physical, doing physical exercise. It absolutely keeps me sane, and I need it for my well-being. And yet my self-perception was, I'm not a sporty person. I hated sport at school. I hated all the sporty girls. I was terrible at that. But it transpires, I have this deep need to swim or do yoga or lift weights is my current one. And actually, we may not think of ourselves as spiritual people, but I think we are all spiritual people. We're not all religious people, of course. And perhaps because spirituality is sometimes associated with religion, some of us don't recognize that spiritual dimension to who we are. We don't identify ourselves as, actually, I long for something bigger than this. But like me realizing that even though I'm not sporty, I need exercise, I wonder if some of us are spiritually hungry, but not necessarily hungry for religion. For me, one of the things that is surprising about Adam Peaty's story is that he found spiritual fulfillment through going to church. That is not a story you hear a great deal these days. Today, you're far more likely to hear people talking about finding spiritual fulfillment in yoga, or mindfulness, or a discipline of gratitude, or journaling, or connecting with nature. When you say spiritual, those are the things that people tend to think about. And actually, you would think that the one thing that the church should have to offer is spirituality. But there is something about organized religion, and in particular, the failings of the institutional church, and the church has failed, that has put people off looking for God and looking for meaning in places like this. Adam Peaty knows that too. He describes himself as a person with a faith, not a religious person. I know actually a number of Christians here would say the same. To go back to John chapter 6, Jesus says to the crowd, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." What that means is don't try and feed your spiritual hunger with the wrong sort of food. To which they respond, well, what must we do to do the work God requires? As in, so how do we get this food? And Jesus answers, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. Basically, Jesus is saying, the work of God is this, do you just believe in me? Faith is not about religion or rules. It's not about church buildings or vicars. It's not about power or politics. It's about choosing to believe in Jesus and discovering that when you do, you find yourself in a relationship that feeds your mind and your body and your soul and your spirit. Right at the start of John's Gospel, the first thing Jesus says to his disciples is, "What do you want?" The author of John is setting us up by planting that question in our minds. They've constructed the gospel in such a way to say to us, so what do you want? What do you want out of life? What do you want? What are you hungry for? And the purpose of this passage all about bread is to make us reflect on that question. So what is it that you want in life? Do you know? Or do you have just that sense of, I know I want something, but I can't put it into words? And where are the things that you're looking for really found? I love a cheese Dorito. I love all crisps, in fact. Make note for Christmas when we get to it. But deep down, I know I am looking for something more than that. And that, for me, is found in the person of Jesus. Amen.